Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 104 in our teaching series, A Study of the Book of Acts with Paul's Writings, titled Chapter 19, Receive the Holy Spirit. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
We do welcome everyone here this morning, and those that are watching online, we're so glad you're with us as we begin this lazy Sunday. As usual, I think this hour catches some people off guard a little bit. And one thing about a smartphone, it just won't let you forget it, will it? Amen. Well, as we begin today in our teaching in the book of Acts and how relevant it is for the day that we're living in today, it's just amazing how the Word of God, it just seems to never age, I guess you can say. Or even perhaps it seems that sin is sin. I don't care what the age is. It's all about the same, dealing with the same stuff. Before we start, though, I want to, in this lesson of 104, chapter 19, some of these individuals we've done before, of preachers that went before us, did huge works. It is a poor sermon that gives no offense, that neither makes the hearer displeased with himself nor with the preacher. George Whitefield. I thought that one's a good one. It's a poor sermon that gives no offense, that neither makes the hearer displeased with himself nor with the preacher. Congregations are lifeless because dead men preach to them. It's pretty. You're kind of straight to the point. Have you got that one? You may have orthodox heads, and yet you may have the devil in your hearts. He just doesn't let up, does he? What's this one? Thank you, sir, for your criticism. If you knew me more about me, what I know about me, you would have written a longer letter. George Whitefield. You've read a lot of his sermons. Each line is like that. It's just amazing. In his sermons, you about have to read them in three settings or something on how direct these guys were. George Whitefield, 1714-1770, was a pivotal 18th century evangelist of the Great Awakening, known for his passionate open-air preaching. His quotes emphasized radical conversion, intense prayer, humility, and the centrality of Jesus Christ, often highlighting themes of divine grace over human effort. He was a big grace guy. He really was. He was, during the Great Awakening, he was huge on grace. It was a work of God and not anything that you contributed. But that is George Whitefield. If you want some direct preaching, teaching, that's where you go. He's really a great one. So here we are again at Acts chapter 19. We're going to pick up here at verses 4 through 7 this morning. We've been talking about the introduction of Paul at Ephesus. And Paul runs into a group of people here. We just left Apollos. And with him, Paul is running into a lot of people that have the baptism of John. But they... That's all they know is the baptism of John. Of course, John first came on the scene with the baptism of repentance. And we've been over baptism a lot in the last 3 or 4 weeks. But John's baptized you unto repentance. And you were, and the repentance was that of the one who was your repentance of sins, but is also the one that was to come after him, was John's message. That there would be one coming after him, of course, that he couldn't even tie shoelaces, so to speak. What happens when sincere believers are missing a key piece of the gospel story is what happens here in Acts 19. And It's a new thought, perhaps, for us to consider. Of course, when we sit in Bible teaching or come to church or whatever under teachers, we want to be taught. We want to have a teachable spirit. And there's times I know that I do not have a teachable spirit. There's times that I do have a teachable spirit. And I'm not that as happy with myself. I can be hard-headed. But I at least come away saying, well, Alan, you were just very hard-headed right there. You're not very teachable. And I do have a conviction of the Spirit. Just for those of you that want to bring correction to me, just give the Holy Ghost time, okay? He's very faithful. He'll do his job. And I promise you I'll repent before all. But the thing we want to consider here is the possibilities of having a piece of the gospel that we're not in. We haven't heard, number one, a piece of the gospel. To consider the gospels in pieces is a new idea, right? You think when somebody hears the gospel, well, they got it. They got it all. It's not being heretical or anti-biblical to think that all of us are just hearing parts of the gospel, because the gospel is something that is revealed to us through our entire life. So to consider a thought that there's yet part of the gospel that I'm not walking in, I think is a sobering thought, but I think is a healthy thought, so that I might be open to teaching of other parts of the gospel that I have yet to hear. Now there is a, and we'll see here with the Apostle Paul in this missionary journey, how teaching is a big deal. So we can receive truth from the Holy Spirit through each other, through prayer, through reading of God's word. But there's also teachers and preachers that God puts proclaiming God's word to help us raise the questions that we need so we can be teachable. There again, raising the right questions is a big deal in being teachable. And there's nothing wrong with having questions. There's nothing wrong with admitting. Now, I've told you my greatest quest at 73 is to learn more about the Holy Spirit. I've told people that there's people that I've seen had the gift of healing. I don't have that. Can the Holy Spirit heal through me? Yes, I believe that. Have I ever spoken in tongues? Never have. Do I think that that's a gift of the Spirit? Well, according to this Bible teaching today, it is. Have I ever had that gift? No, I haven't had that gift. And of course, some might say, well, Alan, what gift do you have? And my response will have to be, I'm still looking for it. I'll let you know. But I do believe that there is more to know about, like the Holy Spirit, than I've learned. And I'm open to that. Totally open to that. Now, there is something worse than not having a gift of the Spirit, and that is to operate in a false gift of the Spirit. So I'd rather be waiting on it is to be operating under a fake or false one. Is that okay? Can we agree with that? And I refuse to do that. I just refuse it. You say, well, Alan, you might miss it. Well, I might do it. But I got a feeling if God gives me one of those gifts that I'll know it. And trust me, you will too. Because of I've been prayed for. I don't know why the gift of tongues is the big deal. Every time I make that statement, I've been prayed for so many times, I almost don't make the statement because I know I got a good praying coming, and which is fine. As I say, I'm sure I need the prayer, and I'm sure you need the practice. So it's I think it's fine. But here's my point. Why do I say I've never spoken in tongues? I do it for a reason. When I do it out of direction of the Holy Spirit, I think. Because I know that over 50% of the people I'm always talking to has never spoken in tongues. And a lot of people feel like they're a lesser Christian if they haven't. And I know that. So I'm going to give an honest testimony. I haven't either. Now, I've had prophetic dreams. I've had visions. I don't know that everybody's had one of those. And when I say that, it wouldn't bother me at all if you didn't look upon me and say, well, Alan, I think you're a little crazy, a little touched. But if that's the case, you need to let me think too, well, if you speak in tongues, I think you're a little crazy, maybe a little touched. And why do I say that? If you don't have the gift, the other person looks a little odd, is my point. And it seems when God's given out gifts, the gift of raising people from the dead kind of must be in short supply in heaven, because I don't see a lot of people with that gift. If they do, they're not using it. And if I had it, I probably wouldn't either, because I'm sure it'd scare me to death. Now, but as we're looking at this, and my point is, there's pieces of the gospel that we all yet need to hear. And that's it's not having the right answer. It's having the right question. And if you can accept that these people lacked a piece of the gospel, and they were open to receive it, it's amazing how quickly they received it. Okay. So that's what happens. When sincere believers are missing a key piece of the gospel story. Now, in Acts 19, verses 1 through 10, what we're reading and studying now in the book of Acts, it answers this question. The setting: Paul arrives in Ephesus, meets certain disciples, and quickly finds a gap in what they've been taught. As we see today, all of our different denominations, you know, we got quite a few, but each denomination tends to major on one particular aspect of the gospel. Now, and it works. Any part of the gospel that you issue, the gospel just works, because we're imperfect vessels giving out a perfect gospel. And so it still works. I mean, we have to all admit that probably at one point the Baptist denomination birthed more people into the kingdom of God than basically any denomination we know of. Now, I know people would argue that. But documented, that would be true. Here in the last 20 years, it's somewhat changing. When you had the Reinhard Bonnkes and some of these others came on the scene in mass producing. But the Baptists, what did they do? They had the salvation by grace through faith. They had that message, part of the message. Now, but the question is there more to the gospel than that? Well, we all know the word gospel means good news. Is there more to the good news of the cross of Christ? I have to say, probably a lot more. Probably a lot more for me to learn. And I'm a short form type of guy. I'd rather have impartation than me have to study it out. I'm just a shade lazy. And I'd rather somebody lay hands on me then I receive something of the Spirit, then me have to study it out. And then I receive it through the understanding of it and studying it out. Well, we're going to see in today's scriptures, you get it both ways. As humans, we tend to like to gravitate towards impartation. I do. But I've also found out that impartation is kind of on as it needs to know basis. I've told you this little story before. I'll tell it again. I have a friend of mine. He's from Korea, South Korea, and he teaches young pastors in China. They come across, he sets up Bible schools along the border of China, and then he gets the word out, and these young pastors, they'll run out across the border, they'll take one of his Bible schools for a weekend, a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Said on Friday, he'll teach them three or four Bible stories. They'll teach them one or two songs. That's on Friday. And he said, now Saturday and Sunday, we lay hands on them and pray for them for 48 hours. I said, well, why don't you just spend that time teaching them? He said, oh, we get a whole lot greater results out of impartation. We don't have enough time. He said, you got to understand now, they can't take the Bible with them. And they can't do that. Their only hope is to have the baptism of Acts 2 and the Holy Spirit falls upon them, and that when they're speaking in tongues, when they're preaching, whatever they're doing is coming to them through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, they'll preach and teach more than they know. But it comes through impartation. So I know that, matter of fact, the name of his ministry is Impartation's Ministry. That's the name of it. But it's what's the need of that hour? They don't have but 3 days. So they have a lot of impartation going on. They would come here quite often. And I think he's come here to New Life one time. He used to come quite often I've wanted him to come and bring his students here to New Life. Used to have him at Jeff's church there at Shiloh. And he'd bring 25 or 30 students with him that were going to teach at his schools to these young pastors coming. And I came in there, it was on a Sunday morning. Well, they'd been there since daylight, and they were lined up around the sanctuary. These Koreans were. And they all kind of had their noses on the wall. It wasn't on the wall, but it looked like you'd have thought their noses were against the wall. And I came in. And this guy's name is Dae Young. And I said, Dae Young, what are they doing? And as soon as you walked in the door, and I'll be honest, I'm not making this a tough up. You could walk in the sanctuary doors, and you didn't know if you wanted to weep, if you wanted to lay down on the floor. You just knew the presence of God was so, I don't know how else to say it, heavy or thick or something, in the sanctuary, that you couldn't stand it. He said, allow them, they're just praying for the presence of God to be here in an impartation way. He said, that's what we pray. But the only thing I can tell you, they had something going for them. Because when you walked in there, the presence of God was there in a way of like impartation. I've never experienced anything like it in my life. And so those Koreans praying, and if you watch the Koreans, look up the moves of God and things that's happened with the Koreans, they are so, when they're converted or whatever, they are so, they're 100% there. They're into, if they're born again, they are born again. And, but my point is this, some things come by learning. We are to study. I call that the long form. But at the same time, some things are imparted. And I'm a junkie for impartation. When Dae Young would come, he'd always want me to take him to Bob Jones's house. I'd go take him to Bob Jones. He knew Bob well. Take him to see Bob Jones. And I said, and he'd come. I asked him but a couple times when he came. I said, what are you doing here? He'd say, oh, fresh impartation. I got to have a fresh impartation. I said, okay. So everything about this guy was impartation, but God had called him to that ministry. And it had everything to do with his work of the ministry, right? But I've also found out that as we're teaching, if we're teaching under the anointing, that teaching, I think, is very helpful and good, and we're going to see that if I'll hush and get into the Word of God. That teaching and impartation go hand in hand. You can have a teacher teaching, and more can be imparted to you by the Holy Ghost during the teaching than what the teacher's saying. You know what I'm saying? And the goal is, if you come to church and say, well, the preacher wasn't very good, worship wasn't very good Sunday. Well, the only thing that tells me is you didn't line yourself up for impartation of the Spirit or for the presence of God. You're making a self-confession, trying to blame it on somebody else. Is that too straight or is that good? Say good preaching, somebody.
Good preaching.
Okay, good preaching. But that's what happens to us. The Lord is here to impart to us and to teach us. But the thing about Christianity, it's more than head knowledge. It's also spirit impartation. Both of them dictates that we're open to the Spirit of God. Now let's look at it here quickly. We're going to pick up here in verse 1, and it says, we covered this last week, but I'm just going to read it today. He said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And we went over some of this in past teachings. And he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." What is John's baptism? The baptism of repentance. That's John's baptism. That's all they knew. Then said Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." So they were to repent of sin and believe on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, we got some denominations today that will only, if you've been baptized, they'll say, "Have you been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus?" You know, like you got to have, and here's where they get it from. This is what we call progressive revelation. We got the baptism of John, repentance. Believe there's one coming afterwards. Paul shows up. You need to know a little more. The one that's coming after him, his name is Christ Jesus. And so they got baptized. Today we baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why? So we got all of them covered. And we won't make another denomination. So here we see, he said that we have not as much heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. Well, let me say this to you. I have heard that there is such called the Holy Ghost. But I can honestly tell you, I have only met a little part of this Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Spirit's within me. I understand that. But the scariest thing that you can have is somebody living that close to you and you don't fully know them. Can somebody hear what I'm saying? How would you like to be living in town and houses are 5 feet apart and you got new people moving beside you and you don't know who they are? Well, how would it be to have the Holy Ghost within you, but yet you don't know him? Point being that the teacher here was saying there's someone called the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And I'm trying to really emphasize, y'all, it's really a trick to take those words, "We have not as much heard where there be a Holy Ghost." You got to take those words. We'll read them, but we'll let them stay there. And we won't let that question truly invade our hearts. And there's certain amounts of the Holy Spirit I have, I know that I've run into. How much have I not? I don't know. I have no idea. I just have this tremendous hunger within me to know this person of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I say this person, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus himself. We all know that. The Holy Spirit is Jesus' Spirit. So I'm saying I'm wanting to know more about the Spirit of Jesus. I know who Jesus is. I don't have any problem with that. I know who he is. But in Christianity, we say that it's a personal relationship. Well, listen, I don't even know all of who my wife is. And come on, guys, you don't either. Don't sit there and try to act like you knew this woman. There's a part of my wife that I know, but did you know there's a whole lot of my wife I don't know yet? And I've been married 53 years. Of course, I blame it all on her. There's a reason I don't. But I'm just saying there's more to learn about our spouses and each other, but there's even that much more to learn about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, Brian's going to bring a good message. He kind of enlightened me on a few things he's going to bring that I think even reflects on that today in his message, on that understanding. Now, let's look here quickly. It says, "We have not heard of so much as there be a Holy Spirit." Well, let me back up here. Let me go to verse 4 up here. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is in Christ Jesus. When they heard this, you got that? When they heard it, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Were they rebaptized? It looks like they were, because they wanted to be baptized in this newfound information that they had just heard. So I've had a lot of people say, when we rebaptize, well, Alan, it's not biblical. And I say, well, you need to go back and tell Paul that in Acts 19. We got some baptized in the name of John, baptism, some in the name of the Lord Jesus. And if you hang around the book of Acts, I'll show you where they maybe splashed them a little bit, okay? But the point being that they heard it and they were baptized. Now here's what happens. Let's talk about this part of baptism. Faith cometh, it says here. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. We all in this room and those watching online perhaps have a measure of faith. Do I hold all faith? Of course not. Do I have a measure of faith? The answer is yes. And I'll tell you how much I believe in this book. It's based on the measure of faith that I have to believe it. Now, but faith cometh. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when I hear the Word of God, now watch it. Faith is a gift, by the way. You can't muster it up. You can't make it. But faith cometh. So then faith cometh. That means faith somewhere, and it's coming. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So what happened over here, they heard about this baptism of Jesus Christ. They heard of Jesus Christ. And they heard it, and their act of showing how much they believed it, they wanted to be baptized in His name. We've had people today say, I just want to be baptized again. Well, why? I don't know. I just feel like I need to. And what do I say to that? Jump on in. Jump on in. Because for some reason, the baptismal waters are a sign and a signal that you believe something that God has just taught you. And it's just available as an outward sign of how much you want to embrace what you just learned. That's what happened here. So it says faith comes by hearing. And when they heard, they did something that showed they heard and received it. I believe they got more faith when they got baptized again. They did an action. If you believe what you heard, it usually equals something. Okay, I believe that the obedience, listen to me, test what I say. Obedience operates when you don't have the faith yet. But obedience is what opens the door to faith cometh. In other words, can you be obedient before you got the faith to be obedient? The answer is yes. It's called a choice. Can anybody touch what I'm saying here? The choice activates. It shows to God that you are acting on obedience. Your reward is faith. Now watch it. I'll show that to you. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, for it is what? It's the gift of God. Faith is a gift, and I submit to you that it's a gift of obedience. Have I prayed for people that are sick, and me knowing I didn't have the faith for there to be resurrected or to be healed? The answer is yes. But out of my obedience, I prayed for them anyway. And I'll be very honest with you. I have seen people healed. Do I think I've got the gift of healing? I really don't. But when I operate out of obedience, then God gives. You know, it's amazing how you can pray for somebody to be healed, and you can give it about, 12 seconds or 12 minutes or whatever, 12 hours, and all of a sudden you'll be praying for them again. It's like you got more for it, to pray for it. It's like the faith is coming to me. God's given me a measure of faith. It's a gift. I can't measure up faith, but I can measure up obedience. Obedience is my will. It's my choice. I have the power within me to be obedient. God's created me that way. It's called a choice. You know, don't blame it on the devil. The devil made me do it. You know how it is. Yeah, I'm sure you've all heard of the millennial reign of Christ. Thousand-year reign of Christ, end of tribulation, thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth. The Word of God says that He's going to bind up Satan for that 1,000 years. I mean, go figure. Why? Why is God going to bind Satan for 1,000 years in a millennial reign? Did you know people are still going to sin then? God binds up Satan for 1,000 years to prove to mankind that you'll sin even without blaming it on the devil. You can't say the devil made you do it in a 1,000-year reign. God's proven to humanity, okay, you think the devil's making, no. You're making some bad choices. That's personal relationship with God. 1,000-year reign. It's where the rubber hits the road. We're not going to be enticed by Satan. We fear Satan today that he can do all this stuff, and is he on the earth? The answer is yes. But I submit to you, we got a greater foe. And it's our lack of decision making. It's our indecision to follow God that is our greater enemy. Now, and so the gift of God then comes with our decision making. Paul explains that John's baptism was about repentance and pointing people to the one that was coming after him, of course, which was Jesus Christ. When they hear this, they respond with obedience and are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul, now here it goes, Paul then lays his hands on them. The Holy Ghost comes on them, and they speak with tongues and prophesy. That's in Acts, of course, 19 and verse 6 there. Paul lays his hands on them. Holy Ghost comes on them, and they speak with tongues, and they prophesy. Let's go to the next verses, and we'll pick up on the previous verses in this one. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Now, I've had that one done. I've had hands laid on me. Bob Jones, I could go down the list of how many people that's laid hands on me, and I wouldn't take anything for it. I'm not really sure a whole lot happened. It maybe did. I've had impartations and I've had prophetic dreams, and prophetic dreams, for some reason, is where I have personally received impartations and dreams. But nonetheless, Paul did this. Now, I have personally, and I'm sure you have too, laid hands on people and prayed for them. You know what I'm saying? Laid hands on people and prayed for them. And it appears, I never will forget, first time I prayed for somebody, and they did what we call it, kind of go out in the spirit. And I don't push that. I don't think it's a mark of anything. But I prayed for somebody, and they kind of fell over there. And when I was praying for them, I could tell something was happening. I didn't know if it was happening to them or me, but I knew something was happening. Well, then that person fell over. And I was sitting there, I was like, well, I'll be dead burned. I wonder what that was. I wonder what just happened. I mean, I'd seen it happen, but I, in all honesty, figured most people were faking it, you know. But then I was doing it, and then something happened. And I was like, man, wow, what am I? It's going to give me a bad reputation. So then I prayed for, and in that day, I prayed for six, well, a lot of people, but I'd say five or six did that deal. And I wasn't really sure what it was, but I could tell when I was laying my hands on them, something was happening. I could tell it in my hands. I could feel it in my hands. I thought, there's something right here is happening. Now, I was embracing the laying on of hands thing, and I'm not a professional laying on of hands guy, impartator guy. I'd love to be, but I'm afraid you'd come to me, you'd leave empty-handed. I'm just telling you the truth. I'll try anything. I'll throw up cherry pie at you if you want me to, if you get a baptism. But I really will. That's not the point. The point is, though, I have seen and witnessed the Holy Spirit being imparted to others. And I've also been taught with teachers and felt an impartation. But I've seen this laying on of hands thing, and it messes up some good solid theology if you're not careful. Because why would God bless the laying on of hands for an impartation? The only thing I can say to you, the Holy Spirit says to you, you need to go up to so-and-so, ask them to lay their hands on you and pray for you. I'd do it. I would just do it. And it's not because what I know, it's what I don't know. But I can give you a biblical text on how God did that. And there's things called impartational ministry, is my big point today. And then there's also things when we, for some reason, God uses a human vessel on the laying on of hands. And at other times, you can just be sitting there, we could be reading the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God touches you just the same. And there can be another time, because you're hearing the witness of the Spirit, things are being, now listen to me, please. Things are being imparted to you, and you don't even know it. If you thought by all the impartations that God does in your life is that you know it, you ain't got enough lifetime for it. You're not as good as you think you are. Hey, come on. You didn't get there by yourself. God's been imparting to us the whole trip. Since you said yes to Him, His Holy Spirit's been doing impartations to you. It just so happens right now, we're trying to identify a time that we know. That's all. That's what it is. Praise and worship. One of the greatest places for impartation. But if you don't enter into it, ask me how many times you've received something. Well, if we come into worship and say, God, touch me if you can, you know. And then I'm going to be the spiritual barometer of God's here. Well, didn't feel nothing today. I'm the spiritual weatherman of New Life. Didn't feel a thing. Now I'm going to tell you something that's the truth. You should be able to go into any church that's proclaiming Jesus and feel the presence of God. You are the limiting factor. If that's the case, if that's true, how much of encountering God are we leaving at the table when we come today? I've already confessed to you, I do not have all faith. But I'll make this confession. I have all curiosity. I have all anticipation. I'm looking for God every moment that I'm here, for Him to break into the moment of the natural world, do an impartation, do a flip-flop, throw a cherry pie, do something that changes the realities that we see. Because I believe in a supernatural God that I cannot anticipate His moves. I cannot predict His mood. The only thing I can tell you is what He said that He's done, and He'll do it again. If we'll look for it and embrace it through our choices. Now let's look here. In this verse, this describes a moment of many both exciting and confusing too. And I'm going to show you why. The text is plain about what happened. The Holy Ghost came on them. There were visible signs. It also keeps the focus where it belongs. Now watch this. The point isn't the spotlight on Paul or on tongues or on prophecy. I want to show you why. The point is that God confirms the gospel message in Ephesians, then He forms a stronger base for what will become a major center of Christian witness. In other words, when you have these signs and wonders happening, God is confirming His word. And God's the one that chooses to do that or not do that. That's God's choice. We got our choice, God's got His choice, and we see signs and wonders happen. We know that God's confirming. If I come to church today and I can tell I've got an impartation of His Spirit. If you come in with a bad attitude, good chance you're going to leave with it. If you come in with a bad attitude and lay it at the foot of the cross, good chance you won't leave with it. We're not against people coming in sick. We're just against you leaving that way. So God confirms things. I can come to church and I can feel a touch of His presence. He can come upon me in a way that I can't get at Walmart. And He comes upon me. He's confirming something. When people get born again, have you not noticed how crazy they act? Have you noticed how all of a sudden, you know, what we do is we say, well, give him about 2 weeks. He'll calm down, be like the rest of us. That's our attitude. They'll calm down 2 or 3 weeks, be like the rest. Well, God forbid. I know a lot of you here know Blake Harvey. He just got back from Africa on a missions trip for 10 days. I couldn't get in a word edgeways. We ate, as soon as he got back, he ain't quit talking. And I'm like, I'm not going to be able to talk this boy out of this mission stuff. He's messed up. Now, I could say, well, he'll settle down after he goes a while. Or I could say, God, don't ever let him settle down. Let this excitement stay in him. And then in the scriptures in Revelation chapter 3, you have this church called the Laodicean Church. And that's the church that's calmed down. We've calmed down. We're lukewarm. Anybody can come in here and not get burnt. Well, would to God that you'd either come in and freeze to death or you'd burn up one. That is the heart of God. And I can't wait that He consumes us all. Let's stand. I'm going to pray. You got 10 minutes. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word, for Your will, for Your way. Lord, You know our deal. If I've said anything that's not of You, pray that it fall to the ground. If I've said anything that's of You in Your spirit, I pray, oh God, You would confirm it to us. I pray, oh God, that our choices would be yes and amen to You and Your spirit. I pray that this day would be unusual. Dear God, we're asking. Lord, there's a lot of hurting people. There's a lot of people in need. And yes, oh God, we are asking that You would come and touch Your people that are hurting, that are in need. And I pray, oh God, that You would give us only that You can give. And we'll rejoice in that. And we'll say, so be it, God. In Jesus' name, amen.